Okay, so picture this. You're browsing online for like a, I don't know, a new coffee maker. And all of a sudden, bam, your inbox is like flooded with ads and like these helpful emails about coffee makers.
Right.
Is it a spooky coincidence?
Maybe.
Not quite. This is the magic of mid-cycle marketing emails.
Yeah.
And today we're going on a deep dive to figure out how these companies keep you engaged even before you hit that buy now button.
It's really all about understanding the customer journey.
Okay.
You know, companies are using these emails strategically to nurture leads and kind of guide them through the sales funnel.
Hold up, sales funnel. That sounds a little jargony. Can we break that down for our
Yeah,
listeners?
so think about like an actual funnel,
Okay.
wide at the top, narrow at the bottom.
Got it.
At the top, you have potential customers. They're just becoming aware of the brand or a product.
Right.
And as they move down the funnel, they become more engaged, more interested. And eventually at the bottom, they're making a purchase.
So mid-cycle emails are targeting folks kind of in the middle of that funnel. They're past the initial, hey, nice to meet you, but they're not ready for like the hard sell.
Right.
Gotcha. And we are getting a sneak peek behind the marketing curtain today,
Yes.
all thanks to an article titled, What is a Mid-Cycle Marketing Email?
Yes.
Written by Lauren Popick, who is a marketing director, and this was published on October 31st, 2024.
That's right. And the article emphasizes that these emails are not just about pushing products.
Right.
They actually serve a few different key purposes.
Like what? Spill the tea.
First, they want to educate you about solutions to your problems.
Okay.
So instead of bombarding you with sales pitches right away, they're offering valuable information that is related to your interests.
Okay.
Then there's building trust and credibility.
Got it.
They do this by showcasing social proof, like testimonials or case studies. And finally, they aim to just provide you with valuable content to keep you engaged with the brand over the long haul.
So it's less about that, like, buy this now, and more about, like, hey, we understand your needs and we're here to help.
Exactly. It's about playing the long game, not just going for the quick sale.
I like it.
Yeah.
And that's where I think this idea of segmentation comes in.
Yes.
This is why you get those, like, oddly specific emails that seem to read your mind. Okay, confession time. I always thought it was kind of creepy how companies track our every move online.
Yeah.
Are they really watching us that closely?
Let's just say they're paying attention.
Okay.
But it's not about being creepy, it's about being relevant.
Okay.
Segmentation is how companies ensure that you're getting emails that you're actually interested in.
Gotcha.
The article breaks it down into three main types: behavioral demographic or firmographic, and engagement.
Okay, let's unpack these one by one.
Yep.
Behavioral segmentation. Does that mean they're judging me based on my late night online shopping sprees?
Not judging, more like observing and responding.
Okay.
So, for example, if you are browsing, let's say, those coffee maker pages, you'll probably get emails that compare different models or showcase brewing techniques, not discount codes, at least not yet.
Okay.
It's about giving you the information you're actively seeking.
So they're playing detective, trying to figure out what we're really interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, what about demographic or firmographic segmentation?
So think about your job title or industry. If you are a busy executive, you might get emails focusing on efficiency and time-saving features.
Okay.
But if you're like a passionate home barista, you might get content that highlights, the nuanced flavor profiles different machines can produce.
Interesting. So they're tailoring the message to fit who you are and what you do. Got it. What about engagement segmentation? Remind me what that's all about.
This is where your clicks and opens really matter. If you're constantly opening and clicking on their emails, they might nudge you a little further down the sales funnel, maybe with a special offer or a limited time deal.
Okay.
But if you've been ghosting their emails,
Right.
they might try to re-engage you with like a really captivating piece of content, like a cool article or a video.
So they're playing a little bit of hard to get.
A little bit.
I like it. But let's be honest, sometimes those marketing emails are just plain boring.
Right.
Go straight to the trash.
Yeah.
What makes these mid-cycle emails any different? What's the secret sauce?
It's all about crafting content that truly resonates with people.
Okay.
The article highlights three different effective formats: educational content,
Okay.
social proof, and interactive content.
Educational content. I feel like that sounds a little dry.
Not necessarily. Think about it.
Okay.
Industry reports that give you like insider knowledge or how-to guides that show you how to like achieve amazing results with a product.
Okay.
That's the good stuff.
Okay, so it's positioning the brand as like a helpful resource, not just a pushy salesperson.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, what about social proof? Is this where those influencers come in?
Not quite. Think about it this way.
Okay.
You're way more likely to trust a product or service if you see real people raving about it.
Right.
So these mid-cycle emails will use case studies to demonstrate real-world results and testimonials from satisfied customers just like you.
It's like reading reviews before trying a new restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to know if it's worth your time and your money.
Exactly. And then there's interactive content.
Yes.
Like quizzes and polls.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good personality quiz.
Me too. But they're not just fun distractions.
Oh, no.
They're actually cleverly designed to get valuable data about you.
So by taking that which coffee are you quiz, I'm actually giving them information that they can use to, like, tailor future emails.
Exactly. It's about making it a win-win.
Okay.
You get some entertainment. You get some insights.
Yeah.
They learn more about your preferences.
Sneaky.
Mm.
But I like it. But even the most engaging content can fall flat if the design is a dud.
Absolutely.
I'm totally guilty of judging emails by their looks.
Yeah.
If it's a visual mess, I'm hitting delete faster than you can say unsubscribe.
Totally understandable.
Is that shallow of me?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Design plays a huge role in grabbing attention and keeping people engaged. Think about it.
Yeah.
You're scrolling through a sea of emails.
Yeah.
You've got like a few seconds to make an impression.
Totally.
That's where strong subject lines and pre-hitters come into play.
Okay.
They're like mini mysteries designed to pique your curiosity and get you to open the email.
The ones that make you go, ooh, I gotta see what this is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once you've opened that email, the layout needs to be clean and scannable.
Right.
People are busy.
Yeah.
They don't have time to wade through walls and text.
No.
So bullet points, headings, visuals help break up the content and make it easier to digest.
Respecting our time, making it as smooth as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What about those calls to action? You know, the buttons that tell you to learn more or download now?
Yeah.
Those strategically place too.
Absolutely. Mm. A strong call to action tells you exactly what to do next.
Right.
And makes it easy to take that next step.
Okay.
Whether it's visiting a website, downloading a resource, or even making a purchase.
So it's about guiding you through that customer journey one click at a time.
Exactly.
Wow, this is eye-opening. It's like a whole science behind crafting these emails.
It really is.
What about the timing and the frequency, though? You know, sometimes I get so frustrated when I feel like I'm being bombarded with emails.
Right.
How do companies find that sweet spot between, like, staying top of mind and, like, driving us crazy?
That's where data and analytics come in.
Okay.
Companies are using data to figure out the best times to send emails and how often to contact you without being annoying.
So they are thinking about how to not overwhelm us.
They are. The article specifically recommends a cadence of biweekly or every 3 weeks to kind of strike that balance.
So not too much, not too little.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Too many emails and you'll get unsubscribes or even worse, you know, the spam filters.
Right.
But it's not just about timing. It's also about relevance.
Okay.
And that's where something called trigger-based automation comes in.
Trigger-based automation.
Okay.
That sounds a little sci-fi.
It's actually pretty simple. It means the emails you get are triggered by your actions.
Okay.
So let's say you click on a link about a specific coffee maker.
Mm.
The company knows you're interested. And so they might send you a follow-up email with more details, reviews, or a comparison guide.
So they're like anticipating my next move.
A little bit.
That's actually kind of cool. But how do they know if all this effort is actually working?
I have to confess, I usually just ignore all those metrics at the bottom of marketing emails.
Yeah.
You know, like open rates, click-through rates, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is that important information even for the average person?
It really is.
Right.
Those metrics offer valuable insight into how well an email is performing.
Okay.
For example, the open rate tells you how effective the subject line is at grabbing attention.
Right.
And if it's low, maybe they need to try a different approach.
So it's like feedback. They're getting feedback. Look,
exactly. The click-through rate tells you how engaging the content is and whether people are actually taking action.
And then you've got your bounce rate and unsubscribe rate.
Right.
A high bounce rate could mean there are issues with their email list.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of unsubscribes means that the content isn't hitting the mark.
Yeah. Or they're sending too many.
Exactly. So it's all valuable feedback.
It's like the email is talking back to them.
It is.
Saying, hey, I'm not working. You need to switch things up.
Exactly. And then there are things like heat maps and click maps.
Okay.
Which visually show where people are clicking within the email.
Oh, wow.
So that can be really valuable for understanding what's capturing attention.
It's like they have X-ray vision into how people are interacting with the email.
Exactly.
Wow. So they're using all this data to fine-tune their approach and make their emails more effective.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any best practices we should know about? Like, what separates the truly great mid-cycle emails from the ones that just make us want to hit unsubscribe?
There are a few things.
Okay.
First and foremost is personalization.
Okay.
And I'm not just talking about using your name in the subject line.
Oh, I know those tricks.
There's more to it than that.
Okay.
True personalization goes deeper.
Okay.
It's about using information about the leads industry, their interests, their pain points,
mm-hmm.
and even their past interactions with the brand to craft a message that feels really relevant to them.
It's like they're creating a unique email experience for every single person.
Exactly. And then there's A/B testing.
Hold on, A/B testing. What is that?
It's a scientific approach to figuring out what works best.
Okay.
So companies will send out two slightly different versions of an email.
Uh-huh.
Maybe with different subject lines, calls to action, or even layouts.
Right.
To see which one performs better.
Right.
They track the data and use the winning version for future campaigns.
So it's survival of the fittest for emails.
Exactly. And then there's content relevance.
Right.
Like we talked about, making sure that the content in each email aligns with the lead's interests and needs.
No more random product pitches that have nothing to do with my life.
Exactly. You don't want irrelevant spam. You want valuable content.
Right. And then what else?
And lastly, we can't forget about mobile optimization.
No.
With so many people checking their emails on their phones.
Right.
It's crucial that emails are designed to look good on smaller screens.
Oh, they have to be optimized for mobile. I never even thought about that.
They do. Easy to read fonts, clear layouts, no clunky images that take forever to load.
So it's all about creating a positive user experience no matter what device you're using.
Exactly.
Okay, let's cut to the chase here. The ultimate goal of all of this is to get us to buy something right.
Well,
like, I'm starting to feel a little manipulated here.
I think it's less about manipulation and more about building a mutually beneficial relationship.
Explain.
Think about it this way. These emails are designed to educate us about solutions to our problems.
Right.
Build trust. And yes, ultimately convert us into loyal customers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just about the sale. It's about creating a lasting connection.
So they're saying, like, hey, we're not just trying to sell you something today. We want to be your go-to source for information and solutions for years to come.
Exactly.
So it's like finding a trusted friend in the business world.
I love that analogy.
Someone who's got your back.
Yeah.
Is always there to help you out.
Because ultimately, good marketing is about building connections, not just transactions.
I like that. You know, this whole deep dive has really made me rethink my relationship with my inbox.
Really?
I used to see it as this necessary evil.
Yeah.
Full of spam and unwanted solicitations.
Yeah, man.
Now I'm starting to see it as like a potential source of valuable information, connections, and even entertainment.
That's great.
Yeah.
And remember, you always have the power to unsubscribe from emails that don't resonate with you.
Right. We're not powerless pawns here.
You have choices.
We have choices. And knowing how these tactics work gives us the power to make informed choices.
Exactly.
So the next time we get a mid-cycle marketing email, we can ask ourselves, is this providing value? Is it relevant to my interests? Is this a company I want to engage with?
And if the answer is yes, then it's a win-win for both sides.
The company gets a potential customer, and we get valuable information or a solution to a problem.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is. This has been an eye-opening deep dive. I feel like I've leveled up my consumer awareness here.
I'm glad.
But before we wrap up this first part of our deep dive, I'm curious to hear from you, our listener.
Yes. What are your thoughts on mid-cycle marketing emails now that you know more about them?
Do you find them helpful? Annoying?
Have you ever noticed a particularly clever or annoying mid-cycle email?
Have you ever made a purchase or become a loyal customer because of like a well-crafted email campaign?
Share your experiences with us.
We'll be right back to continue our exploration of mid-cycle marketing emails. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of mid-cycle marketing emails.
Yes.
Before the break, we were talking about how these emails are so carefully crafted to guide us through the sales funnel. But it's not just about getting us to click buy now. It's about building a relationship.
Exactly. Think of it like dating. You wouldn't propose on the first date, would you?
I hope not.
You need to build trust and rapport first.
Okay. So are these companies trying to like woo us with their emails?
In a way, yes.
Yes.
They want us to see them as more than just a faceless corporation.
Right.
They want us to feel like we know them, like them, trust them.
But the end goal is still to make a sale, right?
Of course. Businesses need to make money.
Right.
But the smart ones understand that a sale is just the beginning of the relationship,
okay,
not the end. So they're playing the long game, investing in us as potential long-term customers.
So instead of just hitting us with a hard sell right away, they're trying to nurture us along, provide value, and build a connection that will hopefully lead to, like, repeat business down the line.
Precisely. Yeah. And that's why providing, like, really high-quality content and building that trust is so important in these mid-cycle emails. Mm. It's like they're saying, hey, we're not just trying to sell you something today. We want to be your go-to source for information and solutions for years to come.
It's like, we get you.
Yeah.
We're here for you. Let's do this together.
Exactly. And when you find a company that genuinely gets you and delivers on their promises, you're more likely to stick around.
It's like finding that perfect coffee shop.
Yes.
You know the one where the barista remembers your order?
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere is just right, and they have that one pastry you just can't resist.
Right.
You keep going back because they make you feel good.
I love that analogy. It's about finding those brands that we really connect with on a deeper level.
Yeah.
That align with our values and make us feel like we're a part of something special.
You know, this whole deep dive has made me look at my inbox in a whole new light.
Oh, yeah.
I used to see it as a source of stress, full of spam and, like, annoying promotions.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to see it as a place where I can actually discover new things.
Right.
Learn valuable information and even build meaningful connections with brands that I admire.
That's fantastic. It's all about shifting our perspective and recognizing that email marketing, when done right, can actually enhance our lives.
And we're not just passive recipients of these emails.
Right.
We have the power to choose which ones we engage with and which ones we ignore.
Exactly. You can unsubscribe from the ones that don't resonate with you.
Right.
And you can actively seek out the ones that provide value and align with your interests.
So the next time we get a mid-cycle marketing email, instead of just mindlessly hitting delete, maybe we should take a moment to ask ourselves,
yeah,
is this email trying to build a genuine relationship with me?
Is it offering me something valuable?
Is it respecting my time and attention?
And if the answer to those questions is yes, then maybe we should give it a chance.
Because who knows? It might just lead to a beautiful, long-lasting relationship.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder that marketing, when it's done thoughtfully and ethically, can actually be a force for good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It can connect us with products and services that improve our lives. And it can help us build relationships with brands that we trust and admire.
This has been an incredibly insightful deep dive. I feel like I've gained a whole new level of understanding about how email marketing works and how I can use that knowledge to my advantage.
I'm glad.
But before we wrap up this second part of our deep dive, I want to turn it over to our listeners.
What are your thoughts on all of this?
Have you ever experienced that aha moment where you realize that a company was trying to build a relationship with you through their emails? And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into this fascinating world of mid-cycle marketing emails.
Yes.
You know, before the break, we were talking about how these emails can build, like, really meaningful relationships between brands and customers.
Right. It's crazy how much, like, the whole marketing landscape has evolved over the years.
Yeah.
I remember when email was just, like, a quick way to send a message to a friend or colleague.
Totally. Like, you've got mail. It was so simple.
Right. And now it's this incredibly sophisticated tool for communication, marketing, commerce.
And these mid-cycle marketing emails are like a prime example of that, of how strategic and data-driven marketing has become.
Right. They're not just random blasts anymore.
Right.
They're these carefully crafted campaigns designed to engage us on a personal level and guide us through that customer journey.
It's like the art of marketing has evolved into a science.
Absolutely. Huh? Companies are using data and analytics to understand our behaviors, preferences, pain points.
Right.
And then they use that information to create emails that are way more likely to resonate with us.
It's like they're reading our minds, but in a good way.
Right.
They're figuring out what we need, what we want, and delivering it right to our inbox.
Exactly. And it's really a testament to how much technology has advanced.
Yeah.
You know, we're living in an age of personalization where companies can tailor their messages to individual consumers.
Right.
In a way that was, like, unimaginable a few decades ago.
It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. But it raises some interesting questions too, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Like, how do we balance personalization with privacy?
Right.
How much data is too much data?
Mm-hmm.
These are important questions that we as a society need to, like, grapple with as technology continues to evolve.
it's a conversation that we all need to be a part of. You know, as consumers, we have a voice and we need to use it to make sure that our data is being used responsibly and ethically.
I completely agree. We have the power to choose which companies we do business with and which ones we don't. We can support brands that prioritize our privacy and transparency and hold accountable the ones that don't.
It's all about being informed and empowered consumers.
Exactly.
And that's what this whole deep dive has been all about,
Wow.
giving you the knowledge and the insights you need to navigate the world of marketing and make choices that are right for you.
Exactly. We want you to feel confident and in control when it comes to your inbox.
So as we wrap up this episode, we want to leave you with this thought. Email marketing, including these mid-cycle emails we've been talking about, is a powerful tool.
It is.
It can be used to inform, to educate, to entertain,
Right.
and yes, to sell.
It can.
But
Yeah.
ultimately, it's up to us as consumers to decide how we interact with it.
We have a
We
choice.
can choose to be passive recipients, or we can choose to be active participants. We
Exactly.
can choose to be manipulated, or we can choose to be empowered.
The choice is ours.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of mid-cycle marketing emails. We
Yes.
hope you learned something new and that you'll continue to explore this fascinating world of marketing with us.
Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.